Before we do anything else, I want to talk about the thing that I really want to talk about, the thing that you join me to listen for, and that is quality soccer talk. You know this. You know this about me. It's always been this way. Not only am I joined right now by the head coach of the U.S. men's national team, I am joined by the coach of the U.S. men's national team, and he is in studio here in Southern California. He was named head coach back in December. 44 caps with the men's national team, including two World Cups. First U.S. men's national team head coach to have played for the U.S. in a World Cup. The first match of the Gold Cup is June 18th in St. Paul, Minnesota. We have a lot to talk about. If you want to talk U.S. soccer, you want to hit me up right now. That telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. If it sounds like I'm hyped, it's because I am. Greg Berhalter joins me in studio. Greg, it is great to have you on the show. How are you?
Really good, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Okay, bring me up to date. So I know it's been a whirlwind. You've got a lot of things going on. How is your life? How is the family? What's it been like?
So it's been great. You know, if I take you back from December when this whole thing started, you know, since then it's just been a lot of travel, a lot of conversations, trying to get, you know, an idea of the landscape of the player pool, of some past experiences, and just plotting a course for how we're going to move forward with the team.
Okay, so what about that pool? What do you make of the quality of players that you have in the pool?
So I think the first thing is that, you know, I really like this, the young, talented players that we have. You know, we have some really young players with a really high potential. When you talk about a Tyler Adams playing in Germany, Weston McKennie in Germany, Christian Pulisic in Germany, three very talented players. But then when you look in Major League Soccer, we're starting to see this younger group starting to emerge. You know, there's players from FC Dallas, players from Philadelphia. And that's, you know, that's really interesting. As a coach, that's what gets you excited.
All right, Greg Berhalter in studio. If you've got a question or a comment for him, once again, the phone number is toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada, 1-800-636-8686. You mentioned Tyler Adams. There's a lot of buzz around Tyler Adams. It's well-deserved because he's made a name for himself in the U.S. already. But as you mentioned, he goes to Germany, and he's having an impact immediately. I know you don't want to hype him too much, but when you look at him and his game at just age 20, what kind of thoughts do you have?
So I think, you know, if you relate it to other sports, he's a guy that it just brings a ton of energy. He has a real dynamic in his game, very explosive. He can cover a lot of ground. And, you know, he has a skill set that makes him very versatile. So you can put him on, you can put him in a number of positions on the field and he can still be effective.
Right. So in the past, among fans, there's always been this rush to get hyped on the next big thing, right? The next young player. I want to avoid doing that, but he is one of three 20-year-olds who play in Germany, and they're already key figures on the national team. You're somebody who played in Germany, so how valuable is that experience?
So I think when what you have in Germany is, you know, packed stadiums, you have a high level of pressure, you have a very dynamic game, fast-paced game, and a very precise attacking game. So I think what it does is it prepares the players, you know, to play at a different speed. So when we get guys back that are playing in Germany, we see that they can adapt very quickly to a high level of speed in the game.
All right, so you just finished up the international window with a win over Ecuador and a draw with Chile. From the outside, at least from the outside, it would seem like those matches feel significant because of the quality of the opponent and the fact that you had a full pool of players, but you're on the inside. So how significant do those matches feel to you?
You know, I told the group before we got together that this will be the most challenging two games we'll have together as a group. And the reason why is because we literally had zero preparation time. So if you think about introducing 11 new players into the pool and then having to perform after just only one training session, it was challenging. But the guys did great. And I think what we did is we set the foundation of how we're going to build moving forward. And I think that from that experience itself, it was valuable.
Yeah, so what do you do about that if you have no time to get ready? Like, you want to implement this change, right, in style of play, in culture, but you do not want to overload them with information.
Exactly.
How much do you give them? How do you make that work?
So, you know, you have to stay disciplined as a coach because your instinct is to overload them. And, you know, admittedly, at times we've done that. But sometimes you just have to pull back and say, okay, well, you know, we'll give you, you know, basic information. We'll stick to the principles of how we want them to play. And then show them stuff, show them video, and then hope that enough is absorbed that they can have a performance on the field that we're looking for.
We're talking soccer. The U.S. men's national head coach, Greg Berhalter, is joining me in studio here in Southern California. Now, Chile is an elite team, and they play a pressing style that's been a problem for U.S. teams in the past because of the challenge of playing out of pressure. What do you make of how your team responded to that challenge?
You know, I thought it was mixed, to be honest. There were times when it was really good, and there were times when it could have been better. But that's what we expected. And I think what we learned from that game is I think we've gained confidence that we can do it. And if we're prepared, and if we believe in it, and if we're brave enough on the field, we can do it.
That's interesting. Brave enough on the field. I like that phrase, because part of what we're talking about here is a schematic change in terms of maybe not dropping back, waiting to counterattack. But how much of it's a change in attitude, right? In being brave on the field and wanting to disorganize the opponent. How much of that is about being aggressive and bold and just a mindset?
A lot of it is mental. It's believing that you can do it. I think it's believing in the structure, that the structure can help you disorganize the opponent. And then, committing to actually doing it. And what we've seen, Jim, is that, you know, we'll actually train this, and the players get stressed when we're training it. And because, you know, it's uncomfortable. If you think about, you know, if you start the play from your own goalkeeper and you make a mistake, guess what? You can get punished very quickly. So it's a very stressful exercise, and it's just getting the guys used to it and saying, okay, listen, you can play here the same way you can play in other parts of the field. Just be calm, stick to the structure, and stick to the principles.
In other words, get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Greg Berhalter joining me in studio. He is the coach of the U.S. Men's National Team back here in California. So one of the things you and I have talked about each time is that style of play. The style of play that you're looking for, four matches in, how close is that style to what you are looking for?
We're getting there. You know, it is going to be a process, and we have to understand that. And, you know, as coaches, we have to understand that. But we're certainly getting there. I think we made positive steps in January camp, and then now with the introduction of a new group of the player pool, we've made more progress in the last camp, and we're going to continue to build on that in the Gold Cup.
We're talking to Greg Berhalter. We're going to talk about the Gold Cup in a minute. You know, one of the things that's getting a lot of attention among U.S. fans is the arrival of a shape and a function that seems to have a bit of Manchester City influence in the way the right fullback joins the midfield when you have possession. So is that perception correct? And what do you like about that approach?
I think similar to Manchester City, what we're trying to do is, take advantage of our positions on the field to unbalance the opponent. So all it is moving, you know, a player into a different area of the field that gives us balance, but also gives us a numerical advantage to be able to start our attacks. So Manchester City, you know, I believe has very similar principles. I think they have a, you know, high level player to execute it at a different level, but you know, I found that our guys are open to it and really wanting to learn and wanting to play a game like this.
You know, Greg, I got to be straight. Like, you and I back in the day would sit together and watch our kids play Little League baseball. And you and I would talk sports at that time. And I always felt that you were extremely focused, extremely disciplined. You had a plan. You worked that plan. So I'm not at all surprised that you're in the position that you're in right now. But I'm kind of blown away by the magnitude of this job that you have and how quickly you got there. And then I look at the whole thing and now I hear people talking about the Berhalter system, the Berhalter approach as it relates to a U.S. national team. I mean, how do you feel about this whole thing? Do you take a step back and you have to take a breath and say, damn, I really am the coach of the U.S. men's national team? Or does this all feel very normal to you and like the normal process of things?
You know, Jim, I think it's similar to you. What you do is you put your head down and you work every single day. And you know that if you're working at a good level, good things will come. But I didn't sit, you know, I never, you know, when we were watching those Little League games, I never said to you, hey, I'm going to be the coach of the national team one day. All I did was just work hard. And, you know, you believe in your talent. And it comes through, mostly is preparation.
Right, so you can relate to this because you are a big sports fan and you and I would sit and talk about whatever was going on at that time. Every coach and every manager that I have on this show these days talks about two things, culture and relationship with their players. Now, you have the additional challenge of trying to develop that culture and relationships in short bursts in camp, but you've been very intentional about that and it's kind of taken on a life of its own, kind of like those crossword battles in January. How would you describe then the culture and the identity of the men's national team right now?
You know, it's fun trying to build the culture of the team. And I think the first thing is that, you know, when we talk about our cultural identity, you know, it's very easy because we're representing our country. We have such a fantastic country. It's so easy to tie into, you know, the elements of who we are as a nation and get the guys behind it. But the other thing is, you know, when you're doing these team building events, whether, you know, we're doing some exercises with the military, we're doing NASA exercises, and, you know, it's a great learning experience for us, but it really brings the guys together and forms a common bond. I think men tend to bond with experiences. And, you know, by us giving them more experiences, you see the team coming together.
So those experiences, those things where they come together and they bond off of the pitch, off of the field, how does that then translate and bring them together on the field?
You know, a lot. When we're, for example, we're listening to this astronaut talk, and the guy was a helicopter pilot in Afghanistan, and after that he retired, and he's delivering babies. He became a medical doctor, and now he's preparing for, you know, a mission to space, and it's going to take 6 years. And this guy's talking, and like the guys really can translate how, you know, the process doesn't happen overnight. And it's about, you know, bringing your lunch pail to work every single day. So I think, you know, these experiences off the field will tie onto what we do on the field, because the guys will have each other's back.
The U.S. men's national coach, Greg Berhalter, joining me in studio for a few more moments. Talking soccer, having a great time doing it. Listen, there's one more thing about this that's really important to note. For a lot of these guys, you're their fourth national team coach in 2 years. Tim Ream said, quote of you, quote, "It's a breath of fresh air, because before it was let's qualify by any means necessary, chop and changing, switching things up, whatever it took. He's very focused on playing a certain way and sticking to it," end quote. I mean, you played for different guys in different situations. How important is that stability and identity?
I think it's important. I mean, I think in any walk of life, all people want is clear expectations. And if you outlay it clearly and you, you know, you tell them what we're looking for, I think it's easier to perform at a high level.
Hmm. You mentioned the Gold Cup. It's coming up in June. So how do you approach your time between now and the next camp?
So we've been watching all of our players all across the world. We've been watching them live and on tape. This week in particular, all the coaches are spread out across the United States visiting other MLS clubs, getting to know the coaching staff, working with our players, talking to our players, and watching more live games. You know, we're going to transition in the next couple of weeks to starting. We'll find out our group on Wednesday. And then we'll start scouting the opponent, and we'll go pretty deeply into that. Then we'll know, you know, all the opponents, the last five games of the opponent, and really understand what they're trying to do. And then we prepare to try to win a competition. And that's the exciting part of what we do when you get to compete.
So you feel like you're right where you thought you'd be, or might you even be a little bit ahead of schedule?
You know, I'm always concerned. I always want more. So I think, you know, we're never really happy. We always want to keep going. I think we've made progress, but we want to keep performing.
Yeah, Greg, also, before you go, I mentioned in the Open that you're the first U.S. men's national team head coach to have played for the U.S. in a World Cup. How much is that experience helping you right now?
It helps. You know, I understand that there's a tremendous amount of pride that comes with putting on a United States jersey, but then also knowing what the international competition is and how the games unfold and you know, the level of intensity and pressure that the players are going through. I think it certainly helps.
All right, so you're a Carolina guy. You went to North Carolina. Your wife went to North Carolina. Everybody wanted to see a North Carolina Duke NCAA title game in basketball. Did you watch the championship game last night?
I did. I saw it from afar at a restaurant, and, you know, Carolina broke my bracket because I had them winning it. I actually had them playing Duke in the final. Have they ever played each other in NCAA tournament? Do you know that?
No, they have not.
They haven't, right?
Not in the final. Not in the final. Not in the final. Right.
Yeah, so that would have been great.
Would have been great. Didn't happen. What was it like to play college soccer there?
You know, North Carolina is an unbelievable sports university. All the sports were at a high level, and, you know, it's a great college town. You know, you told me Jake's going to Wisconsin, so he's going to be in the college town as well. And, you know, that's the experience that makes college just great for student-athletes.
Yeah, but Tobacco Hill, what's it like having those two, I mean, beautiful academic institutions with the athletic background and history they have that close together?
It's great. It is great. Then you have NC State right down the road as well. And it, you know, I think it adds to the competition, and you feel, you know, Duke athletes will come onto Franklin Street and want to hang out, and they, you know, we wouldn't be too cool with that. And it was great.
It's a tremendous time. Yeah. He is the U.S. men's national head coach. And Greg, listen, I know you got a lot going on. I really appreciate you finding time to come to the studio. First of all, you've had great access to us and the program since you were named head coach. But I appreciate coming back down here and spending time in the studio. It's great to see you. Great to see the team doing so well. And I really appreciate you. That was fun.
Thanks for all the support, Jim.
You got it. You will always have it from me. Keep it up. Greg Berhalter in studio. He was named head coach in December. 44 caps with the men's national team, including two World Cups. Don't forget, the first match of the Gold Cup is June 18th in St. Paul, Minnesota. And he was right here in studio.